Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins. We've been doing this for a year or two, and we're into 2020. last week, Bill, we looked at interest rates and how the bank interest rates have been disappointing for savers. So this week, we'll look ahead at investment market and see how they compare. So if I'm right, Bill, 2019 didn't really start very well for equities and investment markets. A bit wobbly to start. But looking back at the year as a whole, what was the overall performance?
Oh, I think you're right, Howard. At the beginning of the year, it looked pretty dismal. The UK economy was going through these dreadful political shenanigans about Brexit. We had the USA and China in conflict over trade. But if ever you want to think about the word unpredictability, especially of stock markets, 2019 was surely going to stand out as providing an incredibly changing scenario within that 12-month period. The stage was really far from set for being a good year in the final months of 2018. And as I say, back then we had the fear of UK interest rate rises, that the China's economic slowdown was coming our way. And there was a brewing trade war driving investors out of stocks. And of course, when people get to go out of stocks, so the markets decline. Contrarians, you know, might not agree with me because they might say, and I think rightly so, especially on reflection, 2020 vision is a good thing. Sharp falls on the world's markets and extreme levels of investor pessimism back at the end of 2018 probably made a substantial reason to invest because they made the likelihood of a rebound in 2019 that much more likely. And of course, they've been proved to be right. And what may come as a surprise, even to them, is just how strongly that market rally was over the year. In aggregate, world stock markets added more than 20% in dollar terms. And I think last week when we were talking, and I was saying that, you know, being out of the markets and in cash because of fear of volatility is more risky than being in the markets at times like this. And there's more of this to come in a moment, Howard, when I talk about how the world has moved forward in the last decade. It's no mean feat, as the US currency has held its value against other currencies. And it's also surprising, really, about the performance of the markets in the US and China, which spent most of the year in the eye of an international trade storm. And in the US, technology companies were in the vanguard as the major indices sped to what are and have been record highs. It's been a quite remarkable year, with the S&P 500 going up by just under 28% in total return terms. It has been an incredible year. The UK market up in total return terms by about 14 or 15% if you include the dividend payments that come out of the investments. It's been remarkable when you consider interest on deposit floundering around half of 1% in most cases.
Yeah, the comparison is enormous. I get your pun on 2020 vision, by the way. So, what do we go on, Bill? Yes, okay. What about the FTSE and the UK markets? Did the uncertainty over Brexit at the beginning of the year, and then perhaps the general election at the end of the year, affect market performance?
Yeah, I think both have had a direct effect on the markets. There was great concern over where we were going as far as Brexit was concerned. But I think more than that, there was much more concern about what political colour we were going to paint the United Kingdom for the future. It was pretty obvious, I think, early on in the process, especially once Boris Johnson had become the Prime Minister by default almost. It was pretty obvious that we were going to have something that captured the essence of what the British public wanted. And there was not going to be another referendum, as far as I was aware. It was bound to be a general election. Of course, that immediately brought about a change in the economic forecast. And I think the uncertainty in the UK was about the concerns over electing what seemed like a spendthrift Labour manifesto, although the Tories manifesto wasn't far short of what it might want to spend over the next few years. But nonetheless, I think there was more confidence that the Conservative Party would manage the economy better than the harder left-wing policies that had been coming out of the Labour Party for the last few years. And to be honest, for all of the local difficulties in the UK, I mean, the FTSE 100 has generated a double-digit return in 2019. And that to some extent has been buoyed by a weak pound. That's not good news for most people who live in continental Europe as expatriates. Changing sterling into euros has still been an expensive process. The euro still continues, in my personal opinion, to defy the laws of economic gravity at current exchange rates. But the weak pound has helped the markets because that increases the international earnings of most of the blue chip companies in sterling terms. And latterly, there's been a partial reassessment, if you like, of the virtues of cheap, domestically orientated stocks. They have come into favour because they've valued considerably for some time.
So, Bill, do you think the FTSE 100 index will reach 8,000 in 2020?
Oh, that's a very good question. And, of course, I will be held to task if I get this one wrong. So I may have to sit marginally on the fence. But, 2020 is actually shaping up to be a good year, in my view. I think the FTSE 100 is likely to continue to perform well. I mean, the leading benchmark of blue chip stocks trading in 2019 was up by, as I say, 13-14%, including a total return of almost 15%, including the dividends. And that's a pretty decent return by anybody's expectations. Now, is it going to continue in 2020? I think there's plenty of evidence to suggest that we are likely to see continued good form. There's a lot of value out in the markets. The UK stocks have underperformed in the last year, 2019, compared to the rampant United States. But, they've also underperformed Europe and Japan. And only really the UK has only really done marginally better than the struggling emerging markets. And I reckon that new year, we will start to see a closing of the gap between the UK and the rest of the world. Some of the more highly regarded investment economists out there have pointed out that the FTSE 100 is barely any higher than 3 years ago, and the pound is still a long way below where it was in the summer of 2016. So it's relatively easy for anyone seeking value, if you like, as a contrarian, to make a case for a UK stock market which has underperformed. It feels unloved and it looks potentially undervalued on the basis of earnings and yields. So I reckon that there is a chance of the index hitting 8,000 by the end of 2020. And I think the chances of that happening are probably better than most people suspect. So, there are many imponderables between now and then. We have to get some hard-nosed negotiations out of the way with the European Union. We have to be sure that the global trade war, which kicked off, is getting closer to a resolution. And, of course, we desperately hope that the geopolitical events of recent weeks won't continue into a much more elevated situation. But given those risks, I still think that the undervalued market of the UK is likely to perform into low double-digit numbers in 2020 to try and close the gap between that market and the other major markets of Europe, Japan and the United States.
Well, we shall see. OK then, Bill, what factors do you think could affect UK and global markets this year?
Yeah, I think looking at the UK first, Howard, there are potential headwinds. There always are, as I mentioned just now, these imponderables that sit out there waiting to trip us up. And there may be others that I haven't mentioned that I can't foresee, but which pop up in the interim period and cause some impact on the way the markets perform. Prime Minister Johnson, he's locking himself into a very tight deadline for getting the trade deal that we've all been looking for with the EU, aiming to get it done in total by the 31st of December 2020, whereas the EU think that is a very tight deadline. There's no question it's a tight deadline, but of course, maybe Boris has got the idea that if you don't make a tight deadline, you've got no chance of meeting it. It'll just continue into the long term future. If he manages to get that completed by the end of 2020, I'm pretty confident that the FTSE 100 will get an extra lift. But if he doesn't, then you can expect a little bit of market volatility. I think global events, turning to the wider picture, they're also going to play a big part, I think, because if the US can strike a new trade deal with China, then markets around the world are bound to go up, and probably quite significantly, and will take the FTSE 100 with them. There is a risk, in my view, a beneficial risk for investors, that the US Federal Reserve will cut interest rates again next year. That will help enormously, whilst governments and central bankers around the world are ending and dumping the austerity that's taken place over the last decade in favour of a looser fiscal policy. There is a lot that could go right in 2020. But, you know, just a word of warning. The world's now longest running bull market cannot go on forever. But with the global economy picking up and a lull, it could race on for another year or more. And it might be a very good time to top up your UK-based investments and some of those investments that you might think are worthwhile within the major markets of the world. But as I say, always remember, things can go down as well as up. Things do go down as well as up. It's a question of getting the balance right and establishing investment matters in accordance with your personalised needs. And that's where Blevins Franks score highly, because we obviously don't set up portfolios that and squeeze people into them. We meet a client and then establish a tailor-made portfolio of assets around them to make sure that they are entirely in accordance with the client's requirements.
Yeah. So, Bill, is it possible to predict what will be the best performing assets this year?
It's not possible with any certainty. That is really a very hazy crystal ball stab in the dark. I think if the Brexit negotiations go well, and I think both the UK and the EU are fed up with the way the negotiations have gone so far, and I think there is a willingness on both sides to try and move this forward. There is, I think, a 50-50 chance it would get done by the end of the year. That would give the UK an enormous boost, and it could mean that the UK market ends up, especially the FTSE market, FTSE 100, I think that could be one of the best performing markets of 2020. But if Trump's election later in the year goes the way he wishes it to go, you might also find that in the run-up to that, given the statistics that seem to suggest he's likely to be re-elected, you know, you could very well find the US market again producing very decent numbers over the fall period of the year. I'm not so confident about the European markets, although there is some room for them to go up too. And Japan is always unpredictable. So, yes, I think the UK and the US will still be the leading markets in 2020.
Yeah. Well, those markets can be so unpredictable. How do we go about deciding which investments to buy and when, and likewise, which to sell and when?
Yes, good question. I think the answer is that you do need to sit down with the expertise and skills of individuals who understand you as an individual, what you're trying to achieve, what your responsibilities, what your liabilities and what your aspirations are for the future. And then to, as I say, tailor make a portfolio of investment assets that is in accordance with your own personal acceptance of an investment risk, one that doesn't keep you awake at night, one that you can trust and rely upon to be set up to last for the longer term. And in the circumstances, you really need to make sure that you have advice that you can depend upon and return to time and time again to ensure that your portfolio of assets is kept up to date, broadly in line with your aspirations, broadly in line with your tolerance to investment risk, and making sure that the mix of assets reduces the level of volatility that you're likely to experience, whilst at the same time gives you a very positive return above the prevailing rate of inflation, and therefore your wealth will grow rather than be denied because you've left your money flailing around on cash deposit, actually depreciating by reference to inflation when compared to the interest rates you receive.
So, Will, finally, what factors should we consider when investing our capital? How do you ensure your clients end up with portfolios which are suitable for their needs and circumstances?
Yeah, well, just to go on from what I was saying a moment ago, look, Blevins Franks have been providing wealth management services to British expatriates, generally speaking, for 40 years. We have a whole raft of back office technical expertise in the taxes that apply in the country in which you live. We also have high levels of tax understanding and skills about the UK, because that's where a lot of British expatriates end up, and indeed by definition where they came from. And the simple fact of the matter is that it's always been the policy of Blevins Franks to evolve a relationship with individual clients in the form of a loose partnership, so that we talk to our clients about what it is they're trying to achieve. What do they like and what do they dislike? What are their intentions at the end of their life? Where do they want their assets to go? Who do they want them to go to? What is their view about tax planning? And given all of the information that we absorb from a client, we create a profile for every single individual client. It's probably true of the thousands of clients that we have scattered around the whole of continental Europe, including UK, that there probably aren't two identical portfolios. And if there are, it's simply because two people have come up with exactly the same personal data that makes us end up with the same solution for that client. We take a client and we make the investment assets around them fit their circumstances. Instead of like most investment houses who have fixed views about how a portfolio should be structured and then squeeze the client into that ready-made suit, if you like, whereas what we tend to do is to create a tailor-made suit of investment asset choices so that we are confident that we can get the client from where he is now to where he wants to be in the most effective fashion, and we can live comfortably in the knowledge that by reviewing the client's asset base every 6 months or so, we are always fine-tuning it to make sure that we hold his objectives, his aspirations, her aspirations in mind to get them to the end of the line.
Yeah, well done, Bill. Thank you very much indeed. The website is an excellent source of information and a good way of contacting your local advisor as well.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the website's well developed now. It's worth a look. www.blevinsfranks.com will take you to a whole raft of information about Blevins Franks as a business. It will take you into the particular territory in which you live. It will show you local offices in that area. It's worthwhile early on in this new year to, with the changes I've just mentioned, maybe taking place to the advantage of people who have got a balanced approach to investment management, sit down and talk to someone from Blevins Franks about how they see your future, and to tie that in with how you see your future, and hope that we can bring the two together so that 1 + 1 can end up equaling 2 and a bit.
We'll chat next week at the same time. I think banking secrecy 10 years on is our subject, Bill.
Oh, OK. Well, I'll go beef up on that then, Howard. Thank you very much indeed.
You're
Look
welcome.
Look forward to speaking next week.
Likewise. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save.